Certain man had two sons. The youngest came to him and said, "Father, I'd like my portion of the inheritance." And back in that day, the older son got a double portion because he was the oldest son. So in this case, since there were two sons, the younger brother was entitled to a third of everything that the father had. Father gave it to him, and as you know, he went to a far country and wasted it all. He ended up in a hog pen feeding the pigs, and which was a disgrace for a Jewish boy to do. And it was in the middle of that hog pen that the Bible says he came to himself and said, "Hey, at home, my father's servants have it better than this." I mean, he was so hungry that he was ready to eat what he was feeding the pigs. And he said, "At home, my father's servants have it way better than this. I'm just going to go home to my, I'm going to go home to my father and tell him, 'Dad, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me one of your servants. Let me live in the servants' quarters. Let me eat with the servants. I've forfeited the right to be a son. I just want to be a servant.'" So he heads home. And you know the story. I don't know how long he was gone. But every day that he was gone, his daddy was out on the front porch or out by the front gate looking in the direction in which he left. And on this particular day, he looked down the row and there was a figure coming. Probably didn't recognize him at first, but as that figure made his way toward the house, his dad said, "Boy, looks like my son. Looks like my boy." And the Bible says that he ran to greet him. He hugged him and kissed him. He called the servants. He said, "Hey, go get one of the robes and put on him. Go get a pair of shoes and put on his feet. Get a ring and put on his finger. And let's go ahead and kill the fatted calf. Let's call the neighbors and let's call our friends together because we're going to have a party tonight. We're going to rejoice because this my son that was dead is alive. This my son that was lost is found." His older brother was in the field working, and he came home, and as we read, starting in verse 25 from Luke 15, the Bible says he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he said, "Hey, what's going on? Why the music? Why the dancing?" And the servant said, "Well, your younger brother's come home, and your dad's killed the fatted calf, and we called all the neighbors, and we called all our friends, and we're rejoicing that he's home." And the Bible says that this older brother got angry, and he wouldn't go in. And when his dad heard about it, his dad came out and entreated him. In other words, begged him to come in, said, "Son, why don't you come in? Come on in and welcome your younger brother home." And here's what the older brother said. He says, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgress I at any time thy commandment." That's a wonderful testimony. I mean, for a son to say, "Hey, Dad, I have never broken one of your commandments." I can't say that about my dad. Adam can't say that about his. He was back there nodding his head, so I'll just let her. Adam can't say that about his dad. But here was a boy that I think told the truth. "Never at any time broke I one of your commandments. I've served you all these years. All these years that my little brother was over there spending your money and wasting your money and living in riotous living and in a wasted life. All these years I've stayed by the stuff. I've served you. I've worked. And yet, Dad, you never gave me a fatty calf. You never let me invite my friends over. You never let me do any of that. And yet, this prodigal son come home, and the first thing you do is give him a fatted calf and let him have a party." And here's what Dad said. He said, "Son, it's right that we rejoice that your brother's home. He was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he's found." And then he said this. He said, "Son, I want you to realize something. I want you to think about something. All that I have is thine. Everything I have is thine." You know, too many of us are like the older brother. Not in his jealousy. Not in getting angry. Not in pouting. Sometimes we're like that, but that's not the point of my message tonight. But too many of us are like the older brother, because we forget what we have because God is our Heavenly Father. We forget that we are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. And tonight, I just want to remind you of what we have because we're a child of God. I want to remind you of a few things that we can claim, and things that sometimes we don't claim, but things that we can claim because we're one of His children. First, I think I have five things I want to mention tonight, so you can keep track of how well I'm making my way through my message. And if it looks like I'm going to go long, you can rest assured that I can see the clock better than you can, and I'll close out right at the time I'm supposed to. First thing that we can claim that this younger brother got when he got home was a robe. He called the servants. He said, hey, bring one of the robes and put on my youngest boy. I'm sure he had tattered clothes. He'd spent all this money, and I'm sure he didn't have a change of clothes. And so the clothes that he was wearing when he was working in the hog pen probably got torn and tattered. They probably stunk. And Dad said, go get one of my robes and put on my boy. Now, the older brother, when he saw that, says, hey, why did Dad do that? Why did Dad take one of the best? And he got a little jealous, got a little upset over Dad giving one of the robe. But here's what Dad said to the older brother. Hey, son, every other robe in the house is yours. All the robes in the closet and in the guest closet and in the cedar closet, wherever they stored stuff back then, all the robes that I have are yours. Yeah, I gave one to your younger brother, but I want you to remember that every other robe in the house is yours. I am, as you are, a sinner by birth. The thing that is true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. When two birds get together and have offspring, they have, somebody tell me what? Baby birds, chicks. They have baby birds. When two crickets get together and have offspring, what do those two crickets have? Baby crickets. Oh, you guys are smart tonight, I tell you what. When two cows get together and they have an offspring, what do they have? A baby cow. And calves, okay. Well, picky, picky, picky. And when two sinners get together, what do they have? A baby sinner. So I am a sinner by nature. And there is a part of me that wants to have my own way. Who said amen? That was a bad time to say amen. But it was true when I was a baby. It was true when I was an adolescent. It was true when I was a child. It was true when I was a teenager. It was true when I was a young adult. It was true as a middle-aged adult. And it's true now as an older adult. I want my own way. That's the nature that I was born with. And there have been times in my life when that nature, old nature, got the best of me, and I put actions to that nature. I demanded, I insisted, and I worked to get my own way. Didn't matter what God wanted. Didn't matter what my mom and dad wanted. Didn't matter what my brothers wanted. Didn't matter, in some cases, what you all wanted. I got my own way. And that made me not only a sinner by nature, but a sinner by action. And that sin made me dirty. It made me filthy. In God's eyes, it made all the good stuff that I think I have to offer, all my righteousnesses, my sin made that look in God's eyes like filthy rags. Now, there have been times throughout my life that I have tried to reform myself. I can't tell you how many diets I've gone on and failed. Can't tell you how many times I've swore, well, I'm only going to eat one of those candy bars a day. You know, Janine brought that basket of Butterfingers to the auction. and I bought it. I had to bid against her because she knew how much it was worth. And I bought it. And I want to tell you, it was just chock full of Butterfingers. Giant ones, medium-sized ones, baby Butterfingers, and then a distant cousin, a Butterfinger crisp. And I said, one a day. A baby one? A big one? I mean, one a day. A baby one this day, a middle-sized one this day, the big one this day. But I was doing pretty good when I was out of town and they were at home. But I got home yesterday afternoon and I was so hungry that I ate all the babies. And I ate all the medium-sized one. And I ate the big one. And I finished off the two distant cousins. And so I'll just tell you what you already know. We cannot reform ourselves. I mean, as much as we try to turn over a new leaf, as much as we try to live a life that's pleasing to God, I cannot make myself righteous in His sight. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That verse is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, and yet God made Him sin for us all. In other words, when Jesus went to the cross, God took all of my sin and all of your sin, and He piled it on His Son. And as Jesus went to the cross, He paid the price for all of our sins. He suffered the hell that all we deserve. And when He went to the cross and hung on that cross and all our sin was piled upon Him, you say, how did He suffer our hell? I'll tell you how He suffered our hell. When all the sin was piled upon Him, God, His eternal Father, saw that sin and turned His back on His only begotten Son. Now, we can talk about the fires of hell. We can talk about the bottomless pit of hell. We can talk about the darkness of hell. We can talk about the worm that dieth not. But what makes hell hell is the absence of God. And that's the worst part about hell, is God is not there. And when Jesus hung on that cross and God the Father turned His back on His Son, what He did for every single person who has ever lived is that He suffered their hell for them. He suffered my hell for me. He suffered your hell for you. And because He paid that price, if we believe in Him, if we receive Him, the Bible says that not only does He wash away my sin, but He dresses me in the righteousness of Jesus. That's what that verse says. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And in the Bible, that righteousness is often talked about as a robe. In Matthew chapter 22, there's a story about a certain king that that was throwing a marriage for his son. And he invited all his friends. And you know the story. All his friends said they had something else to do and they couldn't come. And so he told his servants, he said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and invite everybody you find to come to the wedding." And as they came to the wedding, they gave each guest a wedding garment. They gave each guest a robe to put on to be dressed properly for the wedding. The king came in. He looked at it. He saw all the guests. And he saw a guest there without a wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? I provided them at the door. I gave them to you. Surely you could have gotten one. You must have refused it." And he called his servants and he said, "Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. You will not be able to attend the marriage of the Lamb unless you are dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ." Unless you have that robe that God gives to each person, offers to each person as a result of Calvary, you won't get to come to the wedding. And you will spend eternity apart from God. We sing that song. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And I'll remind you tonight that God has given each one that has received Jesus Christ a robe. It's the robe of righteousness. It covers our sin-washed bodies, our sin-washed souls, and we stand before God justified, dressed in the righteousness of Christ. All that the Father has is mine. He's given me a robe. Number two, he's given me a ring. When this younger boy came home, Dad said to one of the servants, "Hey, go get a ring. Put it on his finger." I'm sure he had a ring when he left home, but I'm sure he hocked it to make money as he ran out of cash. And so Dad said, "Hey, go get one of the rings from my jewelry box and put it on his finger." The older brother didn't like it. He came and he wouldn't go into the house because Dad had given him a ring. But Dad said to the older brother, "Son, every other ring in the house is yours. Go look in the jewelry box. Go look in the top drawer. Go open the safe and look in the safe. Every other ring in the house is yours. It's yours." In Bible times, a ring represented authority. When Joseph was placed second command in Egypt, he was given a ring by Pharaoh. When Mordecai took over for Haman in the book of Esther, the king there gave Mordecai a ring that represented his authority. When the king cast Daniel into the lion's den, the Bible says he sealed that with his ring. He sealed the stone that they rolled across the opening to that den with his ring. And that sealing with the ring signified that nobody but the king could open it. It represented authority. And so I'll remind you tonight that God has given each one of us a ring. We have been given the authority of God to represent him on this earth. We have been given the authority of God to go out into the highways and hedges to tell people about Jesus Christ. We have been given the authority of God to go out and tell boys and girls and men and women how to get to heaven. In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In John chapter 20, "Then said Jesus to them, his disciples, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye, be he remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." I have the authority, you have the authority to point people to Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this afternoon. I want to figure out how to illustrate to you. Let's say that I got a phone call from Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a rich guy. I got to tell you this. Names will be not mentioned to protect the innocent. But I was talking about all the rich people I know in a sermon not too long ago. And I mentioned Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. And I mentioned the Waltons. And one of our young ladies leaned over to her mom and said, "I didn't know that John Boy was rich." And she said back to her daughter, "I don't think he's talking about John Boy. I think he's talking about the Sam Waltons," which I was, by the way. Not the Walton. Oh, you guys, never mind. I thought it was funny when she told me. So let's say that I got a call from Bill Gates. And Bill Gates says, "Hey, Daryl, I'm going to give you $100 million. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep $1 million. You can do whatever you want with that $1 million. But I want you to give the rest of it away in $1 million increments. 100 million, so I got $1 million. I got 99 $1 million gifts that I can give away. Yeah, now, don't raise your hand because I'm just making this up. So let me tell you. Let me tell you how I would feel if that would happen. I was thinking about it. I'd have a lot of fun. I already have a list of 10 or 11 people that I would start with because I know 10 or 11 people that are struggling right now, just trying to make it from day to day. And I go to them and I say, hey, I got some wonderful news. I know how you're struggling. I know how you're just tough to get by from day to day. I got a gift. Not from me, but from somebody else. And he has empowered me. He has given me his authority to share this gift with you. And I would write him a check for $1 million. And I would walk away from that transaction thinking, boy, that was the greatest thing in all the world that I could do. But I want to tell you something tonight. I have the authority from somebody richer than Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all the Rockefellers, and all the Waltons put together. I have the authority to give a gift that's richer than all the money in the world. I have the authority, and so do you, by the way, to give a gift to every single person, to every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, that's priceless. Priceless. It can't be valued. And that gift is the gift of eternal life that was purchased by Jesus Christ on Calvary. And every single one of us tonight wear a ring, can't see it, but we wear a ring that has been given to us by God that denotes or conveys his authority, that we have the privilege and the responsibility to go out and find people that don't know Jesus and share that gift with them. All that the Father has is ours. The robe of righteousness, the ring of authority. Number three, shoes. When this younger brother came back, he was probably barefooted. His shoes had probably wore out. Dad noticed that and said, hey, servant, go get a pair of shoes and put on my boy's feet. Again, the older brother got mad. He got jealous. And Dad came out to the oldest brother and said, son, every other pair of shoes in the house is yours. I mean, everyone in my closet, everyone in your closet, everyone in the spare bedroom closet, everyone in every shoe rack, and I don't know how many shoes they had, but every other shoe in the house is yours. All that I have is thine. Now, shoes in the Bible represents the guidance of God. And God has given to each one of us his guidance. As Christians, we don't have to worry about the decisions that we're called upon to make. Because God says, you ask me, and I'll give you guidance. He says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. You need wisdom to make a decision that you have to make? Then go to God. Ask for his wisdom. And God says, I'll guide you. I'll guide you by my word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. He guides us by the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. And he guides us as we get the mind of God. Like we were talking about last week. You just stay close to God. You stay close to Jesus. You stay close to people that are close to him. And you'll get the mind of God. And so you see, when we have a decision to make, when we worry about it, when we fret about it, what we're telling God is, we don't have faith in him. We don't have faith. We don't have faith that he'll direct us. We don't have faith he'll tell us which way to go. We just need to realize, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning of my message. All that God has is ours, and yet we fail to claim it. Brother Harold, it'd be like going to the old country buffet and just having water. Can't imagine that, can you? Just water. All that food is spread out there. All those desserts are spread out there. Oh, he's starting to drool now. All those desserts are spread out there. Hang on to him, Betty. He's going to get up. Yeah, they're spread out. They're there for the taking. That's what God says. Hey, I got a robe of righteousness for you. I got a ring of authority for you. I got shoes of guidance for you. Just go ahead and claim them. They're yours. Don't get mad because God gave some to somebody else. Everything that he has is yours. And there's plenty. There's plenty. God's not like us. When we give something that we have away, we might be limited in what we have left. But when God gives it away, he's got just as much before as when he started it. It's an inexhaustible supply. And he says, put on the shoes of guidance. I'll tell you what to do. And then number four, I only got four. He gave him a fatted calf. When he saw him coming and when he went out and hugged and kissed him, he put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And he called the servants and said, hey, go get that calf that we have fattening in the barn. Call the neighbors. Call all our friends. We're going to kill that fatted calf. We're going to have a barbecue tonight. I just made that up. Doesn't really say that in the Bible. We're going to have a party tonight. We're going to kill that calf. And we're going to rejoice because my son's home. Older brother came. I think this is what got him the most. He said, Dad, all these years, I haven't left you. I've worked in the field. I've obeyed every one of your commandments. You've never, ever given me a fatted calf to rejoice and have fun with my friends. And yet, here's my little brother. He took a third of your wealth. He went into this far country and wasted it in riotous living. And the moment he comes back, you give him the fatted calf. And here's what Dad says. He said, son, you see all those cows over there in the pasture? They're all yours. Look in the barnyard there. You see all the cows and the goats and the other barnyard animals? He said, they're all yours. You could have had one anytime you wanted. If you wanted to have a party with your friends, you could have killed the fatted calf. You could have done it yesterday. You could have done it the week before. You could have done it the month before. They're all yours. Everything I have is yours. And God says the same thing to us tonight. Everything that I have is yours. It's been yours all along. It's been yours ever since you've been born into the family of God. Because I'm an heir of God, like Brother Leonard was talking about in Sunday school this morning. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. It's more than just wealth. He does own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. But God has things that are better than money. He has love. The love of God, so rich and pure, he gives to each one of us. He has joy. He says, I'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll give you the peace that passeth understanding. I'll give you heaven. I could spend the next 30 minutes and I can tell you, remind you what you have in Jesus Christ. But I'll simply say, it's all yours. Every bit of it. It's there for the claiming. Hey, son, you could have had it. It belongs to you. Everything here is yours. If you wanted it, why didn't you take it? And I say the same thing to each of us tonight. All that the Father has is ours. Every bit of it. And yet, we live poor, sometimes miserable lives with no joy, with no peace, with no love. And yet he has bushels full of it sitting in the barn. And all we got to do is go get it. All that he has is ours. I'm a child of the King. So are you. And we need to start living like it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the encouragement that comes from this book.